Well, bless the Lord. This morning I wanted to share a little bit about the Lord. As I said, the world, most of the world is celebrating the birth of Jesus. But like I said, I didn't want to get into all the discussion on that. I wanted to remind us of some things. His birth, His death, His resurrection, and His eternal life. None of the other things can happen without His birth. He had to come to this world. Our salvation is based on God coming here as He promised. I mean, the Old Testament is full of it, a Redeemer coming to redeem us from what? From our sins. We're born dirty because of Adam. We're made clean because of Jesus. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here in many aspects, but we can't forget that. When I look at that, His birth, His death, His resurrection, His eternal life, that's the word picture for us. We're born, we die, the promises were resurrected with Him, and we have eternal life. I feel so saddened for those who think all that happened, this is all there is. This confused earth of babies dying and war and disease and confusion and divorce and all the crying and the sadness and the disputes and the dissensions and the things, they don't happen all the time to everyone all the time, but they're here. This is all you think it is? What kind of a God is that? This we see is because mankind has deserted God. What we see and what we have, people are shaking their fists today at wars and babies dying. Disease and death came as a result of Adam's disobedience, which meant there was a separation from that perfection. All of us born after Adam were born outside of that wonderful place of paradise. We were born less than what God made. God, you say, oh, God made me this way. No, God did not make you this way. Adam's sin made you this way, with the disappointments and the rejections and the hurts and the inabilities that we have. In Jesus Christ, you then have an opportunity for a new nature to enter in. You can either give in, your choice always, to the Adam nature, which is the broken way of thinking, wanting, and feeling, or you can crucify that, which is the death that we have to experience here, and let the God nature rule. That will improve your marriage. That will help you raise your kids. That will help your business. That will help rule our country again. I'm saddened to think that somehow, I was young, a young teenager when a lot of these changes happened in the 60s. Prayer and Bible were removed from our schools. This is a Christian nation. It was founded on Christian principles. But the freedom principles allowed anyone who wasn't a Christian to come here. There are mosques and temples of all sorts all throughout this country. And we've made the foolish thing to say, oh, we're not going to be Christians, so you can be what you are. No! This is a Christ-centered nation, and every Christian needs to stand up and make sure they do that. And if the law around you has taken the Bible and prayer out of school, you better make sure you have that in your kids before they go to school. Make sure they bring their Bible to school because they have the freedom to do that. Make sure they pray out loud over their meals. Make sure they pray with their friends before school. That can't be stopped. If the government says the government can't do it, they never said the individual couldn't do it. So all of these things God has given us in Jesus Christ. But this Christian nation, our obligation is to stand up. The enemy has whipped us back and forth, slapped God in the face through the foolishness of the Christians. There has been an asleep. The Christians have been asleep. The pastors and the leadership in this country have been asleep. The assault has come from within. It's not people. It's not liberal, conservative thought. It's not Democrat, Republican. That's just the foolishness of the adversary trying to get those of us in this country pitted against each other. The Christians need to stand up and pray again and again and again in the open forum. If someone is allowed to lay down a rug 5 times a day and pray to their God in the East, then we can pray to the God of all gods. Do not fear, God says. Now Jesus came. This thing about His birth, His death, His resurrection, and eternal life, that is His word picture. You will be born. All of us in here have been born. And all of us in here are going to die. But it doesn't end there. There is a resurrection. You either go up, and there's going to be an eternal life. And you get to choose here where you go. So many times, the principles of Jesus Christ have been removed from the public square. You ask many people today, if you die today, where will you go?
Oh, I hope I go to heaven.
You hope? Well, if I did enough good works, I will. Good works are not your path to heaven. They should be there, of course. If you have a God nature, you're going to be doing a lot of good works. We were born stained, and God said, nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. What Jesus Christ does when you take Him into your heart. God, I don't even understand all of this stuff. But you're God, I'm not. Forgive me for all of my sin and my fault. I do want Jesus inside. I invite Him in. Hands up. I love You, Lord. Help me. Whatever manner that you submit to that living God and ask Him inside, in that moment you're forgiven. You're sealed by the Spirit of promise. I've said many times here, it's like He puts you in a Ziploc bag. You're clean inside. Now you get some mud on you from yourself or someone else. But He said, God, forgive me. And then that, it's like the washing by the water, the word, so to speak, washes off the bag. If it was on you, it wouldn't wash off. If it's on a plastic bag, it's going to wash off. When you die, He opens up that Ziploc bag. You're still clean by what Jesus did, not by your good works, not by your church attendance and your prayer. You're cleansed because of what Jesus Christ did, and you get to be with Him forever. That needs to be our gratitude. And at this time, I don't want that to get lost. And it very easily gets lost to secularize what God did. In that moment of time, Jesus Christ busted the time capsule. All time is measured from Jesus Christ. Historians know that. It happened. And as I said earlier in our prayer time, it wasn't Alexander the Great that split time open. It wasn't Confucius from which all time was before and after. It wasn't Muhammad. It was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Before Christ and after Christ. Time was split in two by the birth of Jesus Christ. This is powerful. Oh, it can be denied. We're far away from that occurrence. And there are many that have denied it. They're caught up in a lie. But we do know the truth. Now, I want us to think on something. I've asked a couple of the girls here and Lisa to help me with this. I was looking over some of the names associated with Jesus. And today, really, it's all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Today is about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yesterday it was about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Tomorrow, July, February, September, I don't care. It's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. He is the fullness of God and the Spirit of God. He is all three. Amen. Wow, I mean, how can that be? Some people still say Christians are worshiping three gods. I'm going, what are you talking about? There's one God. There's three elements, just like you. When God said, let us make man in our image, He wasn't talking about eyes and ears and nose. There is a mind, there is a will, there is emotions. That's what God is talking about. The mind is like the Father, the will is like Jesus, and the emotions is like the Spirit of God. God is all three parts, just like you have three parts, but you're still one person. The personage of God, there is such power that each part of that personage has power. Oh. He had Himself come as Jesus Christ. There had to be a death. There, life is in the blood. There had to be the shedding of blood. All throughout the Old Testament, there is a sacrifice of animals. God never instituted human sacrifice. Pagans did. There was a sacrifice that was a symbol of Jesus the Redeemer to come. He had to die. It was the ultimate of the ultimate of the ultimate. The flesh dying. It was the word picture of what you have to do from this point on. Die to your flesh just as Jesus did. You were born, He was born. He died, you have to die. Not the cutting of the flesh like some are doing, the beating of the flesh, taking swords and cutting your forehead till it bleeds. No! It is to sin that you must die. Then you have a resurrection. Even on this planet you have a resurrection. I've been resurrected from the dead. I had a dead life before I knew Jesus. But I've been resurrected into new life here. But at the end of my physical life, I will have my spiritual life with the Lord. Now, I looked over the names. These aren't all the names. I limited it to some of the names. So I want you to think, as these names are written, these are all throughout the Scripture. These are different names attributed to the Lord. So I want you to think on this as they read off each name. This is who Jesus, this gives a picture of who he is. Talk about a complete picture here. So if you would please just start with our first list here. If you just listen to these names of Jesus.
Adam, Advocate, Almighty, Alpha and Omega, Arm of the Lord, Author and Finisher of our faith, Author of eternal salvation, beginning of the creation of God, beloved Son, Branch, Bread of Life, Captain of Salvation, Chief Shepherd, Consolation of Israel, Cornerstone, Counselor, Creator, Dayspring, Deliverer, Desire of All Nations, Door, Elect of God, Faithful Witness, First and Last, First Begotten, Forerunner, Glory of the Lord, God, Good Shepherd, Governor, Great High Priest, Head of the Church, Heir of All Things, Holy One.
Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, Horn of Salvation, I am, Image of God, Emmanuel, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Judge of Israel, Just One, King, King of the Ages, King of the Jews, King of Saints, Lawgiver, Lamb of God, Leader, Life, Light of the World, Lion of Judah, Lord of All, Lord of All Glory, Lord of Lords, Man of Sorrows, Meditator, Mediator, Messenger of the Covenant, Messiah, Mighty God, Mighty One, Morning Star, Our Passover, Prince of Kings, Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, Prophet, Redeemer.
Resurrection and the Life, Rock, Root of David, Rose of Sharon, Savior, Shepherd and Bishop of Souls, Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of Righteousness, True Vine, Truth, Witness, Word, Word of God.
Whoa.
Whoa. With a resume like that, he's complete. Complete. Everything's in there, from Savior to Judge to Lord to King to Prince. Every single thing is in there. He is whole and complete. Any person on this planet you're looking to is incomplete. Do not look to them. It is only in the Lord, Jesus Christ, that anyone will have their fullness and completeness. The world is empty, and people are filling it with things to make themselves feel better. They're doing things, even in churches, to make themselves feel holy. All sorts of traditions to celebrate, I feel holy doing this. I feel holy kneeling. I feel holy touching. I feel holy doing. God doesn't want us to feel holy. He wants us to be holy. The only way to be holy is to have Jesus Christ inside, and it's only at your invitation, because he won't force your door down. I stand at the door and knock. What a gentle God. Not that wrathful, ugly, squish you in a moment for your sin God. He gave up everything and came here as us to show that you can live in a physical body with all of its desires, all of its lusts, all of its hurts, all of its pains, and still have God's nature rule. That's why Jesus is our example. I've had people come up to me and go, oh, this Christian stuff. What a bunch of hypocrites. I go, you know, I don't follow the Christians. I follow the Christ. Expect mankind to fail. Expect mankind to have low expectations. Expect mankind to not meet God's measure. Expect it. And then forgive them. And then pray for them and yourself. Only with God's nature ruling can we be sinless, because the Spirit of God will not lead you to sin. So when it is the rule, when it is the motor in you, you will not have that ugly, dissentive retort to someone in an argument. You'll not have that hatred rise up. You'll not have that rejection. When people reject you, you'll not feel rejected if the nature of God's within. A whole lot of our ills are because we feel rejected. We don't feel accepted. You don't love me anymore. Well, the people that can't love you when God loves you. So if you're living in the peace that you are His, that you are His child, that you're going to be with Him, it can take you through so many things. I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about a solid heart, inner being, connected, one with God. And that's what Jesus' prayer was. God, I pray that they would have what we have. I and you and me. And that's what we have. So I want you to think on that. Think on those names. Think on who Jesus is. This is the God that we serve. Right now everyone's thinking of a babe in a manger. That was His gift to us. Look how vulnerable. I mean, a cow could have stepped on Him. I mean, He could have been eaten by a snake or a panther back then. I mean, all sorts of, talk about vulnerability. But God was with Him. Only God's plan. He never fell in the ocean. He never died at age 5. God was with Him. He is the essence of what we need. So He humbled Himself to save us. His birth is our salvation. So, so powerful. That's what I want us to think on. Not all the other things that people are capitalizing. Oh, I'm doing that plus this. Careful, because that other stuff can crowd out everything about Jesus' birth. The joy that we have at salvation needs to take us through everything, and it will if you let God rule. In John 1, verse 1 to 2, it says, because you talk about a birth, He didn't start here. Look, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. He didn't start as a baby. That's where people get confused. Well, He was born like anybody else. How can He be God? So many people say, Jesus was a really good guy, a nice prophet. Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life, and Jesus wasn't just some other prophet that came here. He was the planned event of God. I've often wondered, you know, why didn't you come the next day, God? I mean, why didn't you come the next day? But there has to be a lot of things that have to happen that we can see. There needs to be a record of man's inability to stay away from sin. And every single thing, whether it's kings or judges or even the law of Moses, could not have man stay away. The only way I can stay away from sin is to have God's Spirit ruling in me in that moment. And every one of you can feel that dragon rising up. When you get ready to get into an argument, or I don't like you, or this, I disagree with you. In the natural flesh, every disagreement is going to be a dissension, it's going to be a break, it's going to be camps established. But not with God's nature. So when you feel that thing rising up, say, God, just help me now. Your nature, I call upon your nature within me to rule in this moment. It'll change your thought process, it'll change your response instead of the blah, blah, blah that goes on. I mean, how many more cases of road rage do we have to see? I mean, have you seen this lately? Some little kid was killed the other day because someone was shooting at a guy in a car because he was upset because he cut in front of him. What? Can you imagine when that dragon started rising up if that man said, God help me! I don't want this to rule. This is wrong. This is Adam nature. I want you. I want your peace. I want your wisdom. And then start praying for the guy to cut him off instead of trying to shoot him. And some guy sets a house on fire because he's upset about something that his girlfriend did or something. And people die in that. Rage, anger, I mean, this stuff is the darkness of the sin nature, not what God said to do. Jesus came to set all of this right. So powerful. And in John 1, just get a little further on verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. We are part of what God wants to bring to the world. His light in you. We have to live it. We have to show it. We have to teach it. We have to bring it to the darkness. Not your preaching or your opinion about what God means. You letting God rule within. Let that birth of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the journey to the resurrection, let that live in you and be alive. Sometimes you can just, you don't even need to be saying anything. You can say, God, I ask for the power within me to make a difference around me. You can be standing in a bank line, and there can be demons leave these people. For in that moment, they can remember something their mother said or their grandmother taught them about the Lord. When you go into a hospital, you might be going to visit this one, but let the power of God go before you. It stretches out beside you. As you walk by rooms, people can get better sometimes. God can be taken care of. You don't know. God, open my eyes. Let me live within the realm of your spirit. That's our part. And in Colossians 2, 9 to 10, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity, of the godness, of God, dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. So it is. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Not walking around with your head in the clouds or, you know, banging someone over the head with the Bible. It's living your life to the fullest, whether you're mowing your lawn, whether you're ziplining over at Mosey, no matter what you're doing. It's not just church. It's not just sitting in church. This is where we should be refreshed. This is where we can come together as God's children, as a family, and worship Him and love Him and learn more about Him. But this should only be a picture of what you're already doing all the other hours and days during the week. Be full of Him so it will exude in everything you do. Don't be like what some people say. Oh, you're such a Christian. You're yelling and screaming, jumping up and down, road rage, drinking till you're drunk. What foolishness! How many pastors are stuck in pornography, sitting in their basement someplace doing God-awful things? This is a fight of evil against God. And God is stronger. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So, as people, as you celebrate, those who do whatever on terms of Christmas and all this stuff, don't lose sight of Jesus. It's not religion, traditions, or celebrations that are important, but that He has come that you can be restored to God the Father once and for all. He is the love that He talks about in 1 Corinthians. Every single one of us knows this, but we have to understand this. God is love, not the little flighty, oh, I love you love. The love that God is talking about is extremely difficult to do because of the Adam nature. The love that God is talking about, He says in 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Okay, now I'm not finished with the list yet. Anyone realize how much we have to do? The Adam nature cannot meet this measure. Just reading that alone, you're going to say, I failed. Well, God's forgiven you. Get the revelation that God's trying to give us. Your Adam nature can't do this. The adversary will beat you over the head with, you can't. I can do all things through Christ Jesus is the opposite answer that should be in your heart. Let God's nature rule and then you can. And it goes on in verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things. Not anything that comes down the pipe, all the things of God. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Whoa. My love has failed. My love has failed for some of you sometimes. I didn't like what you said or did. And just because I might not have said it doesn't mean it isn't in the heart. Just because you didn't say something to your husband or your wife doesn't mean it isn't in there. Just because you didn't say something to your kids. Don't be one of those Christians, oh, I love everything, oh, I love everybody, whatever. And inside your heart, you're going, I ain't gonna get there. No. Let that be the big flashing red light. Jesus has come into the world, not just some celebratory whatever. It was the restoration and redemption of all of mankind. Even those who died before Jesus. They didn't go to heaven. People go, what? Noah didn't go to heaven. Adam didn't. No, they didn't, because they were born. They were unclean. They went to a waiting place in Abraham's bosom. And it says when Jesus died, it says he descended into hell and preached captivity. So they did get to be with him, but only after what Jesus did. This is so powerful. But we are after Jesus. We have so much of this knowledge and understanding. Don't let it just be information in your head. Ask him in and have transformation in your heart, in your life. Remember, right now, not just today, but every day, it's Jesus. 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 God bless you.